Luke chapter 2, and then we'll be going to Matthew 1 after a short introduction here. But in Luke chapter 2, I wanted you to notice this with me, beginning in verse 25, if you have a Bible. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be good for us if before we saw death, we saw the Lord's Christ? Amen. We saw the rapture. Wouldn't that be something? Amen. Verse 27, of course, he's talking about his first coming. Verse 27, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law," of course, that's circumcision, which means what? Jesus is eight days old. Amen. They were circumcised on the eighth day. Jesus is now 8 days old. He's been 8 days since he was laid in that manger. Verse 28, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And that's what the Lord came for, amen, to be God's salvation for man. Verse 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Now, if you have something other than a King James Bible, we're Bible believers. We believe God did it right the first time. Amen. We have a King James Bible. We believe it's perfect. But if you had a New International Version or a New American Standard Version or one of the other versions that they've come out with in the last 200 times in the last 100 years to make it easier to understand, quote unquote, I don't know why you have to keep making it easier to understand every 5 or 6 months, but they find a reason to do it. I don't know what that could be. But anyways, if you look at any of those new versions of the Bible, instead of saying Joseph and his mother, you know what they all say? They say his father and his mother. You know what those new versions of the Bible have done? They've said that Joseph is Jesus' father. King James Bible never does that. That would be a grave mistake. That would be heresy. Because that would say that Jesus Christ was born of an earthly man, and he wasn't. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And when you think of Christmas, you think of Jesus Christ and his birth, of the angels singing, of the manger scene, of Mary the Virgin, of the shepherds at night, and all those things that we think of and consider at that time of Christmas, the Holy Ghost coming upon the Virgin. All those things, God the Father. I mean, here we have a man born that had no earthly father. And so the question really is this: who was this man Joseph? What was his purpose? I had all these Christmas messages. I've got my, you know, few usuals. And the Lord just laid it on my heart to preach a message on Joseph for Christmas. I mean, think about it. What did he have to do with it? The man that had nothing to do with Christmas. And yet the man that had truly everything to do with Christmas. If you look back with me now in Matthew chapter 1. I mean, when you think of the Christmas story, you'll think of the Virgin Mary. You'll think of John the Baptist and Elizabeth and the whole situation there, the shepherds, the baby in the manger. Have you ever considered Joseph, this man Joseph? The man that truly had nothing to do with it and yet had very much to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man of integrity. A man of faithfulness. A kind and loving man. A man of God. Joseph. Look with me here in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 on the Christmas story. Verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a man of integrity, Joseph. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused, they're engaged, to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. He was engaged to this woman, and yet they had never once had relations. He was going to wait until they were married. She was going to wait until they were married. Why? Integrity, purity, righteousness. What an uncommon thing today. It's been joked about, and they've said we could never have Christmas story today because it would be impossible to find three wise men and a virgin. Truth be known, not only a virgin female, but a virgin male, which is what Joseph was. So what was that? A man of character. A man of integrity. A man, listen, who honored purity. Who thought purity was something to extol. Who thought purity was something that ought to be desired. I wonder how many young people here this morning, the only reason you even smirk or even give a kind of glimpse towards anything pure is because you know your parents are watching, or because the pastor, or you're in church right now. I wonder how many of you in your own heart really have a desire for purity, for righteousness. I wonder how many of you have truly settled in your heart, you know what, until I'm married, no. That's all there is to it. You know who makes that decision? You do. Nobody else can make that for you. Your parents can put you in prison. And they should. Amen. They had to lock you up, throw away the key, and keep you from everything they can as long as they can. I'm all for it. But when it comes right down to it, the only one that can make that decision to remain pure until you're married is you. Nobody can make that decision for you. Have you made that decision? Have you settled that thing in your own heart? Do you truly have that desire for purity? Young men, see, I know that's not cool, but it's right, and it's godly, and if that ain't you, don't call yourself a Christian, please. Don't let anybody know you're a Christian, because Christians ought to desire purity. They ought to extol righteousness. Joseph did. Joseph did. Look at that, verse 19. Look at this, Joseph, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Who said that about Joseph? The author, the God, the Holy Ghost, was able to say that about Joseph. Joseph, her husband, being a just man. How about that? Wouldn't that be something that somebody could say that about you? He's a just man. And not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. You understand? Custom in Israel, you marry a virgin. That's all there is to it. Oh, that's a shame. And here he is, he's a spouse to Mary. They're going to get married. And then she says, Joseph, just one thing. What's that? I'm pregnant. And Joseph knows one thing for sure. What does Joseph know? I am the father. But you know what? He doesn't blow up. Isn't that something? He doesn't freak out. How about that? He doesn't take her in public and humiliate her for her sin. How about that? Huh? Doesn't wipe her nose in it? He's a just man. He knows he has to do the right thing. And according to that Bible, the right thing is to put her away. Amen. I'm going to marry someone else. That's all there is to it. You've lost your chance. But he wants to do it in a way where he doesn't embarrass her. He's doing right, and he's wanting to do right. But he's doing right, and he's wanting to do right without making a show of it. Which is what true righteousness is. When you have to keep blowing your horn of how righteous you are, how righteous are you? That Bible there, and I'll read the verse for you real quick. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to write down the verse or look at it sometime, you may. But it's 2 Corinthians 5:12. It says, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." You know what some people do? It's all a show. The Christian life is all a show. That wasn't Joseph. It wasn't about the show. It was from the heart. He was a man of purity. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of character. That's just who he was. You see, character is who you are when no one's watching. That's Joseph. He truly was a man of integrity. Look at verse 20. "But while he thought on these things," how am I going to do this? That's what he's doing. He's thinking about all this. How am I going to do this? Obviously, it's not me. That's the father. I can't marry her, but I don't want to shame her. I got to work this out somehow. And he's trying to see what he's doing. He's trying to work this out. He's being gentle. See? He's being discreet. He's being just. He's trying to work this whole thing out where no one will be harmed. And, of course, the Lord shows up, verse 20. "While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now, think about that. Here's Joseph. He's like, man, what am I going to do? What a mess. I mean, you know he loves her. He had plans. They were going to spend the rest of their lives together. He was going to set up that carpenter shop. They're going to have a bunch of kids. They're going to have a good life together. He had it all planned. They're on the way. He's going to go pay his taxes. He's going to do right. He's going to be a good citizen. I mean, everything this guy's doing, he's doing for the right reason, for the right motive. Finds out she's pregnant. What am I going to do? I'm in a mess. I'm in a quandary. And while he's thinking on it, the Lord shows up. And he says, "Joseph, don't worry about it. Go ahead and marry her. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Oh, okay. Got it. Right? That's what you do, right? Oh, yeah, Holy Ghost. Oh, okay, fine. That's what he does. Do you realize the miracle of that in itself? He actually believes what God says. And that leads us to our next point. Joseph was a faithful man. He was faithful to his wife. He was faithful to his God. Amen. God tells him, hey, that was just conceived in her of the Holy Ghost. Oh, no problem. We'll get married then. I don't have to put her away now. Everything's okay. Would that be your reaction? I mean, do you think that happens every day? That's the only time that ever happened in history. God not only found the right woman in Mary. Don't you know he found the right man in Joseph? How many men would say, Okay. Fine, in that case. Since she's conceived of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, he believes God in that. That's amazing. God tells him, hey, that's my son. And you just go ahead and call him Jesus. We'll be all right. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. How about that? You know what the angel of the Lord had said? Look at that. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Okay, no big deal. We understand that. Conceived of the Holy Ghost. And bring forth a son. Who's going to bring forth a son? A virgin. Listen. Hold on. Stay with me. Not only, are you still with me? Not only was she going to be conceived being a virgin. Are you with me still? She was going to give birth, according to that prophecy, being a virgin. Do you know what that means? Joseph took Mary to be his wife, and then purposely let her remain a virgin for the next 9 months. Could any of you men here say, better man than me, Joseph? Listen, would Joseph have sinned? No. But Scripture would have been broken. God needed a faithful man that would fulfill his word. Now you think about that thing. Because when Joseph calls her so that she won't be put to shame, calls her to be his wife, they're staying together for 9 months, sleeping in the same place for 9 months, making everyone around them think that she's pregnant by him. And yet that whole time he has never once lain with his own wife. Buddy, have you ever thought about that? Why? So that God's word could be fulfilled. See, what's that? A faithful man. How about that? You know many men like Joseph? You ever met many men like Joseph? I never have. Now, that's something. You talk about a pure, righteous man of character. You talk about a faithful man. Hey, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. Can you imagine during those 9 months the battle? Do you understand the battle going on there? The devil, all he had to do was one time get Joseph to be with his wife, and the scripture wouldn't have been able to be fulfilled that said a virgin would bring forth a son. Can you imagine the temptation that must have been going on between the devil and God and Joseph for those 9 months? Have you ever thought about that? The warfare? All the devil had to do was one time get him to give in to his passion, to give in to that temptation. One time! And we wouldn't be celebrating Christmas today. Because a virgin wouldn't have brought forth a son. And the scripture would have been broken. But for the faithfulness of one man. Have you ever considered that? What a man. I mean, Joseph, what did he have to do with Christmas? Everything. Nothing, but everything. You know what he was? He was a man that truly loved. Verse 25, and he knew her not till she had brought forth. Till. So, Mary doesn't remain a perpetual virgin. We're not Roman Catholics. We understand that Jesus, according to the scriptures, had at least 4 brothers and 2 sisters. He was the firstborn. You don't say firstborn unless there means there's more. Brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. And so, they had love for each other for years after that. Now, it's said, according to Jewish custom and heritage, that Josephus and others have wrote that Joseph probably died when Jesus was about 18 years old. Something like that. We know for sure that Jesus Christ is, or that Joseph is not alive at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because what would happen is the firstborn, the oldest son, would be responsible for the mother, for the widow. But when Jesus is dying on that cross, he goes to John, not one of his brothers or sisters, because they're not Christians. And it would have been a male that would have had to do it. His sisters couldn't have done it anyways. One of his brothers would have had to take care of his mother, but they weren't Christians. They didn't believe on him yet. Why? Because that whole time, Joseph is playing along. All those years. Playing along with the whole thing. Why? So that God's will could be done. Amazing thing when you think about it. And yet, at that cross, woman, behold thy son, to John. Son, behold thy mother. He makes sure that his mother is going to be taken care of by a good Christian man. Why? Because Joseph wasn't there anymore. Joseph passed. He didn't even get to see the fulfillment of all that was promised. And yet he was a good man. He loved his wife. He loved his children. I doubt he loved Jesus any less than he loved his own. He was his firstborn. They go to Jerusalem when Jesus is 12 years old. And I don't know, you parents, if you had enough kids, it'll happen sooner or later. And one of them got left behind. Does that ever happen? You go home from church and one of them still left here. I thought you had him. And that's what happened. They leave Jesus in Jerusalem. Amen. They're gone for a couple days. They come back looking for him. And they find him. And his mother says to him, didn't you know that me and your father were worried sick about you? And he looks at her and he says, what you not that I must be about my father's business? Joseph, the whole time getting reminded of that. Wasn't even his real father. Can you imagine those times growing up? Now Jesus, doing this carpenter work here, and you know, one day this whole business could be... Never mind. Now, Jesus, look here. See these nails? You see this wood? This works. Not knowing. He's teaching his son how to be a carpenter. He's the carpenter's son. What's he showing him? All around there's probably wood laying, crosses everywhere, nails everywhere. That whole time Jesus is growing up with Joseph. Think about that. You know what Joseph did his whole life? He put the needs of others before himself. It wasn't about him. Why? That was real love. He was a gentle, kind, loving man. He was a righteous man. He was a man of integrity. We celebrate Christmas this year. I just want you to think about that man. His contribution. I never thought about it before. All these years as a Christian, I never thought about the contribution of Joseph when it came to the Christmas story. The sacrifice that he made. The love that he demonstrated. The faithfulness, the integrity and character of that man. You know what God was able to do with that man? He was able, listen, he was able to entrust his son to that man. Can he entrust him to you? You know what he's looking for? Someone with integrity, someone with faithfulness, someone with true love. That's who he can trust his son with. Can he trust him with you? Let's stand for prayer.